City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to this Bismarck edition of City Current, a program designed to provide information on the issues and actions of city government and how it affects its citizens. I'm Mary Van Sickle, Executive Director at Dakota Media Access, along with Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good of you to come this morning. And we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access on the morning of Wednesday, May 24th, the morning after a Bismarck City Commission meeting. Let's talk a little bit about the highlights of the meeting last night.
Sounds good.
It was a short agenda.
It was. Sometimes that's a highlight in and of itself.
It was. And there were some routine things that happened last night. You know, there was some approval given for some rural subdivisions to move forward. That's pretty standard.
Yep.
Some liquor licenses that were granted last night.
Yep.
But the one fun thing and the really cool thing beyond that was the announcement of a christening of a City of Bismarck vessel by the Department of Navy.
That's correct. Yeah, the Mayor Seminary and Commissioner Guy, along with Robert and Susan Weifold, made the trip to Mobile, Alabama on May 13th, and they christened the United States Naval Ship City of Bismarck. And there's a presentation on our website on the city's homepage where you can see pictures of this vessel. This ship is tremendous. It's over 300 feet long and close to 90 feet wide. Can carry up to 315 soldiers. I screwed that up.
And cargo as well, right?
Yes.
It carries troops and cargo. It's amazing how big that thing must be. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, when they talked about it at the meeting last night, it sounds like they actually had the ceremony under the hull of this ship. It's a catamaran-type vessel, so it's got a large space underneath it, and they actually held the ceremony under the hull of the ship.
Oh, my gosh. So, that's amazing. And you say you have pictures at bismarcknd.gov?
That's correct.
On your website?
Yes,
okay.
And we will continue to add pictures as the vessel becomes sea-ready.
I saw a mention on your Facebook page this morning as well.
Correct.
The address is just Bismarck, City of Bismarck?
Yes.
On Facebook?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Very simple to find.
Yeah. Those were great. They showed some of the pictures at last night's meeting, and it looked amazing. That is an incredible thing. So, and that was due in large part to Bob Weifold.
Correct.
Staying in connection with the Department of Navy and making all this happen. We had a launch of a submarine just a few years ago as well, right?
Correct.
The USS North Dakota.
Absolutely. And he was a huge part of that as well. So we certainly appreciate his efforts in helping get the name of North Dakota and the City of Bismarck out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was a great presentation. And then, again, a short agenda. But there was an item on the consent agenda last night that was of particular interest. We're going to talk about that a little bit with Jeff Heinz, your Public Works Director. He's going to join us right now. And that was a consent agenda approval to move forward with a process that will change garbage collection in the City of Bismarck. Welcome,
correct,
Jeff Heinz, Public Works Director for the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary. Hey, Jason.
Hi, Jeff.
Good to see you. Thanks for popping in here.
Yeah, sure.
Can you explain a little bit about what started last night from the approval of moving that forward?
Sure. Well, back in March, the commissioners approved the change to a four-day collection for our garbage service here in Bismarck. A four-day collection means my operators will be running four 10-hour days. So we wanted to be able to have them start earlier in the morning at 6 a.m. So in the ordinance, it stated that you could put your garbage out at 8 a.m. So that constituted the need for changing the time to 6 a.m.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Of course, it's always been in the ordinance that you can set your garbage out the evening before your collection time. So for those folks that maybe aren't early risers or don't want to jump up out of bed at 6 a.m. and run the garbage out, you can certainly set that can out in the evening before you go to bed for the night, and it'll be ready for us in the morning. That way we can accomplish our goal, which is, again, trying to get the garbage picked up efficiently and effortlessly, and people put the garbage out, and when they come back, the garbage is gone mysteriously, and they don't have to worry about it.
So let me just back up and say, why is this change happening? What is this a result of some of the recycling, the one-sort recycling that was started, and a lower need for that more frequent garbage collection?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
That would actually cause some other things to happen. But okay. What we did a garbage collection and route analysis with HDR Engineering, and we looked at our route times, we looked at how much time we're spending on the route, we looked at how much garbage we are collecting, and certainly Bismarck is growing. More people are moving to Bismarck, more homes are being built, which is a great thing. So our service, of course, needs to increase. Recycling has helped us tremendously in reducing volumes, so we're able to absorb some of that growth. Our automation that was instituted back in the early 2000s by the previous Public Works Director, Keith Hunke, allowed us to kind of absorb that growth that we saw from 2009 till about 2012. Without automation, we would have really been struggling. We would have had added a lot more people and equipment and those kinds of things. So what this is from is, in the study, we realized that we could go to a four-day collection and kind of create some positive effects. One of the calls I used to always get is when we have a holiday week and garbage collection for those people on Friday would then get pushed to the next week.
Okay.
And the Friday folks were always saying, gee, you know, we always have to carry our garbage over a weekend.
Sure.
And if it's a holiday weekend or something like that, and you've got a lot of garbage, you know, they end up with a lot more material. So that was always in the back of my mind as we've worked through these programs. And as we were working through the route analysis, it came to mind that maybe we could shift to a four-day route, pick up garbage Monday through Thursday, and that way if a holiday occurs during the week, it would then just be the following day that your garbage would be picked up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so you would never have that where you have to carry garbage over a weekend, and you would always have your garbage then just picked up the next day after a holiday week.
So if a holiday is on a Monday, then is your garbage picked up on Tuesday?
Yep, everybody would shift a day.
Okay.
So that leaves us then the ability for going out on those holiday weeks on Friday to pick up Thursday's garbage. So everybody would shift just one day. You wouldn't have just, you know, certain people going over the weekend. The other thing it helps me in is that when we had a holiday earlier in the week and on Monday or Tuesday, the routes were a little smaller on those days, and I could then take employees from Public Works, 13 of them, send them to the landfill. They would jump in six additional trucks that I had to have on hand, and they would go and pick up the prior day's garbage while the regular garbage men were picking up that day's garbage. So if the holiday was on Monday, Tuesday I would send 13 people to the landfill from Public Works. The garbage men would pick up Tuesdays, and my other Public Works employees would pick up Monday's garbage. So we ended up with these situations where I was losing productivity from those 13 employees from Public Works that I was sending out to the landfill.
Sure.
They weren't able to accomplish their mission. And we have to have all this extra equipment on hand to provide that ability to pick up that garbage, which means increased costs, increase maintenance costs to keep those extra equipment going. So by going to a four-day, we actually solved a couple problems there. I don't have people having to carry garbage over the weekends. I don't have to send 13 of my employees from Public Works out to the landfill for a day, thereby reducing their productivity so they can concentrate on their mission and their goals, you know, what they're hired to do. And we don't have to have all this extra equipment around that we have to maintain, so that saves on money. So it just seemed to kind of work
more
efficient. And it just seemed to be much more efficient.
Yeah.
And so we decided to move down that path.
So have you seen other communities across the country doing this type of garbage collection? Is this a system that you see others incorporated?
Not
really.
Really? I haven't. There's probably some out there, but I always am amazed at Bismarck. I'm originally from the suburbs of Chicago.
Yes.
My parents had garbage picked up twice a week.
Wow.
And just until recently had twice a week garbage pickup. That just went away. The city of Minot just went away from twice a week pickup and is going to just once a week pickup. We went away from that before I came to Bismarck.
Yeah.
I do get a call once in a while from some residents of Bismarck that still remember that time and ask, you know, about why did we reduce their service. So, you know, things change slowly. I'm surprised by that. I've oftentimes found that we're, or I'm at least, in this bubble thinking that what we're doing in Bismarck is normal and that that's what everybody else does. But then I start talking to my counterparts around the country and going to talk with other people, I find out that we're on the leading edge of a lot of things, and it's not just garbage. And well, so whether it's a horizontal collector well in the water utility or whether it's an enterprise asset management system that we're instituting for keeping track of our assets and planning and scheduling and pulling that data out, all of these things that I take for granted that I think, oh, everybody else is already doing that, I find, no, we're kind of
leading the way.
Leading the way. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
The four-day thing for garbage is just something that just fell together very well, again, with HDR's help. And I'll
well,
be interested
innovative.
To watch.
It's,
yeah, I'll there's... be interested to watch and see if that helps. But it was one of those things. I always try to look at how we do things in the city of Bismarck.
Yeah.
At least in my division and departments, and say, why are we doing it like that? And does that make sense? And is that efficient? And is that what the customer
sure.
wants? Because the customer ultimately is the public. And so do they want things done better or differently? Or has the buggy gone away? We no longer need the buggy
whips.
Well,
you're thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, so that's always
great. It's innovative.
Been my mindset.
And I would assume then, too, that other communities around the country will be watching how this works.
I'm sure they will.
It could serve as a model. It doesn't seem to have a downside, but everything has a downside.
Yeah.
So what's the downside here? What could be potential pushback? I'm not looking for a negative, but
oh, yeah.
you know, there could be.
Well,
do you anticipate anything?
The downside will be, again, for those folks that are first on the route of collection, if they're not used to putting their garbage out that early in the day.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Of course, that's a change.
Yeah.
And with change, of course, always comes a little bit of concern. But again, I think if you're able to put that out the evening before, then you don't have to get up so early. Or if you're an early riser, you just go ahead and get it out there before 6.
Well, people always resist change.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult. So it's about communication. I would assume you'll be putting out a lot of communication through the city administration
right. yes.
that let people know that this is happening.
The other
and
thing,
it will take some time for people to
yeah.
catch up with that.
The other thing with the 4-day is, okay, what happened to that 5th day? So the routes are all changing. Now,
okay.
you're in a garbage route that your route may stay the same. I tried to keep as the majority of the people in those routes the same, but others in that new route are going to be on a different day. So that's going to be a change. So your day, when it used to be Friday, is now going to be Monday. And so those changes are going to take place. And we're
sure.
sending out a brochure that's going to have a map and a calendar that'll illustrate for folks what their new day will be, or perhaps it's still going to be the same day as they've always had. But you need to look for that in the mail. That'll be coming shortly, and it'll also be on the city's website that they can reference and look there.
Well, let's talk about the timeline. What do you anticipate the timeline to be on
implementation? Well, the rollout for the brochure is going to be in the next week, so the end of May, beginning of June. Watching your mail, you'll be getting that new garbage collection brochure. Don't throw it away, because you'll want to hang on to that. But if you do throw it away, or if you want to see it sooner than that, you can go to the city's website, bismarck.org/bismarcknd.gov.
Is that the website?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But
BismarckND.gov.
Do a Google search for Bismarck. You'll find it.
And
you'll be able
works.
To see the map. Yeah, okay. You'll be able to see the calendar, how it shifts and adjusts. But it's that map that you want to look at.
Sure.
So that's going to be a change. And so some people may be getting a different day now for the garbage. And I know that can sometimes be concerning. But I think we'll all get through this. We're going to be very customer friendly at the beginning. If we find that someone forgot and didn't put their garbage out on the right day, we're going to try and work with those folks in the early stages, the first couple of weeks, and take care of your garbage for you. But we'll hope that everyone will kind of learn their day as time goes on. So that'll be another concern. One other concern.
Pause.
is right now our recycling program that we just started curbside. Which has been very successful, followed the old collection schedule, the 5-day collection schedule, and, you know, it was every 2 weeks.
Okay.
We have been unable to renegotiate that with our current provider. So this is going to probably be the part that gives me the most headaches, is you have to remember your recycling will be picked up on the old schedule, the old 5-day schedule, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And it's not going to match the new garbage pickup. For some, it won't change. For others, it will. That's why you have to look at your map and see where your new pickup for garbage day
is. Currently, those two schedules are the same?
Currently, they're the same as far as the day of the week that your recycling is picked up.
Okay.
But that may change now depending on where you're living and where these new overlaps. As we move forward in 2020, we'll be renegotiating and rebidding the recycling contract. And at that time, will require that the contractor provide that service on a 4-day schedule. But at this point in time, the way the contract is written and the way it was bid, they're unable to provide that service for us. So I know there's going to be some consternation over that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get that out there. We realize that that's an issue, but I hope that people just understand it may stay the same day that you've had, or you may end up have a change. So by all means, watch for that brochure. In the brochure that we're sending out, it has the map of the new garbage collection and a calendar. And we also included the map for the recycling on the 5-day schedule and that calendar so that you have both to refer to. So just remember to look at both, whether it's your garbage or your recycling.
A substantial change to garbage collection in the city.
Yeah, I always like get people calling and get people.
Now they have to call about garbage.
Yeah, but no kidding.
I think the thing to remember is the time of day that you can put your garbage out now will change.
Right.
From 8 a.m. to 6 a.m. You will start garbage collection 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday at 6 a.m.
Right.
Unless there's a holiday. And you'll be picking up on Friday.
Yep. And
routes
again,
will change.
Yeah. You know, you may not be the first person in the route, so you may not even notice a change. But it's those first people that are picked up in the morning that are going to be picked up at 6 instead of at 8.
Okay. So. And there is going to be route changes.
Yep.
So check your brochures
Yeah. Refer to the brochure that you'll be. Everybody's going to receive one. We're sending it to current resident. We're not sending it to owner. So renters and those folks will get it at their doorstep.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And the other thing to remember with this is the recycling pickup will not change.
Yes.
That remains in place.
That remains the 5-day schedule that was produced and sent out. It will be in the new brochure. You're going to be having to remember that that's the old map, the old pickup for recycling. I'm sorry. I tried to get that changed. It couldn't happen.
At some point, we will be making that happen once we rebid
the recycling program in 2020. Okay. So in 2 more years, we'll get that straight.
Okay. That sounds like a more efficient and much more flexible way of garbage collection. So good luck with that.
And Bismarck is fortunate that we operate the collection side and we operate the disposal side. So that gives us the ability to, you know, to make sure that we provide an efficient cost savings service to the public. When you start looking around the country at what people pay for garbage disposal, it's astronomical. North Dakota doesn't have some of the expensive regulations that we see some of our neighboring states having as far as disposal, but we try and provide the best service we can for the best cost for the folks. So that's our goal.
Yeah. Well, Public Works does a lot more than garbage.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely. What else do you have going on in the next, you know, this program will probably play for the next couple of weeks. So give us an idea of what this late May, early June will look like.
Okay. Some of the things that you're going to see happening forestry-wise, which was a hat I used to wear before becoming the director of Public Works. We've had a wet, cool spring. That can lead to some foliar diseases. You may be noticing some leaf spots and some leaves falling off of trees, especially on the green ash. They're going to be getting anthracnose, so that's a normal thing. Although it's dried out nicely now, so that hopefully won't continue. The same goes for our flowering apples and crab apples. You know, we had a little rain during that flowering period that leads to fire blight, so we may be seeing a little bit of that flaring up. Again, we have an excellent staff in the forestry division. They're certainly there to offer assistance if you need some. You can call the Public Works Department. They can get you in touch with those folks. Another area that we just took on in the last couple of years is tall grass and weed abatement and kind of making sure that some of these lots in town are mowed. Mm. We see a lot of the newly developed lots, you know, waiting for a home to be put on, sometimes needing to be mowed or taken care of with noxious weeds or other, you know, kind of plants, and even some yards in town where there's a home. So that's been our task for the last couple of years. One of the things we're changing there is what we saw happening was on the new lots that have been just kind of leveled and scraped, and the subdivision is now set up and ready for homes, and the streets have gone in, but nobody's building there yet. They would oftentimes set aside the topsoil on the lot so that it could be spread once the home is built. So we would send letters to people saying, or to developers saying, or property owners, you need to mow your lot. The grass or the weeds are taller than 8 inches, so it's time to mow it. And they're required by ordinance to mow it once a month. What we were neglecting was those dirt piles. So we'd have these dirt piles of weeds that were constantly blowing around still into the fall and the next year. So we're going to be real strong on that from here on out. Your lot needs to be mowed, and those mounds of topsoil or dirt that's been set aside are also going to need to be taken care of and mowed or weed whipped or something. It's going to need to be done.
Those are ripe for weeds just because of the nature of
good topsoil that's sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's just
soft.
A nice, doesn't get driven over a million times with heavy equipment. So
and it seems like this is seed season. Now we've got all these elms
catches
just
everything,
dumping seeds everywhere.
So if you're a property owner or a developer and you've got property that you need to maintain, you will be noticing, and we will be enforcing that not only do you have to take care of that flat spot, but that mound of soil, is going to need to be taken care of as well. And
we've got
contractors that have bid this and bid it to take care of those piles as well. I'm hoping we have a better year this year. We always try and do better than what we've done previously. So this year, in that area, that's one of the things we're going to be focusing on, is trying to get everything taken care of on those lots, so that the folks in the neighboring homes and the neighboring yards don't end up having a lot of weeds blowing into their yard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening in that area.
It's pothole season's pretty much over.
I told somebody the other day, we've finished, on potholes. Pothole season never really finishes or ends.
Okay.
We fill potholes in the middle of winter. We have a machine that we can actually go out in freezing temperatures and fill potholes, and we do. So, we were blessed with a tremendous amount of snow early in the winter. We were doubly blessed that it stopped in January. but we did have a lot of runoff and melting and freezing and thawing, which pops that asphalt in those voids. So we've been out filling potholes. We feel we've got that pretty well under control. There may be a few little ones here and there, but we've done the sweeping. We've swept the whole city once now. Of course, now we go back out and continue with sweeping, especially on those heavily driven arterials where we've got a lot of construction trucks hauling gravel and dirt and sand. It's falling off the truck,
It's
and so we're
good.
Keeping those picked up. We just painted most of the centerline stripes on the streets. We've still got some other striping to do for bike lanes, and we'll be out with stop bars and doing some of that maintenance.
How often do you repaint the striping on streets?
If it's actual paint, we do that in the spring and the fall.
Oh, okay.
If it's a preformed pavement marking, which is like a heat tape or something along those lines, that can be done once, and that may last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So we oftentimes will put that on concrete streets.
Okay.
But on asphalt roads and some of the concrete streets where we just don't want to have to incur that cost, we'll paint it, and we'll paint it quite frequently.
Can I jump back to forestry real quick? We're still in planting season right now. Do you still have the planting programs, the assistance with boulevard trees planting?
Yes.
And that's called Partners in Planting?
The Partners in Planting program was started by a former Forestry Advisory Board member years ago, and that we received donations from corporate sponsors, and we also matched that with city dollars. Those funds then are available for residents that want to plant a tree in their boulevard. They contact the forestry division. They get the planting permit issued, which is a requirement. You need the planting permit. And then
for the boulevard trees.
For the boulevard tree. Mm-hmm. Yard trees, anything in your private property, you don't need that. But you then are able to have the tree planted, send in the receipt with the permit, and then we reimburse up to, I believe it's $50 per tree, depending on the species. We have two categories of trees, tier one and tier two. Some of the trees are not as desirable because we've got too many of them out there already, or we see things and we're trying to promote diversity. So the tier one trees that we're trying to promote actually have a higher reimbursement rate than the trees that we've already got a lot of. So the forester, again, can assist with that. But that's a great program that's really helped with reforesting and getting our street tree population.
Sure.
And we're up over 22,000 street trees in Bismarck when I was the forester way back when. We had like 16,000. So We've probably added about 6,000 street trees in the last 10 years.
Well, and on a previous program, we had talked about landscaping and the landscaping ordinance that was implemented a few years ago and mm-hmm. how that's really helped aesthetically in the community, but also for stormwater retention.
Right.
And people don't realize that there is a purpose to these trees other than that they look nice.
Yeah, that landscaping ordinance was put in place just in the nick of time. You know, it was back in 2004, I believe.
I think so.
So it's almost been, 13 years since it started. But that was right before the big box stores all moved into town. And you look at those big parking lot expanses and you think to yourself, if it didn't have all that plant material out there, what would it look like?
Exactly.
And we've got some parking lots in town. We've seen some real strides. The Kirkwood Mall just did some parking lot construction, which mm-hmm. kind of triggered them to do some landscaping in the parking lot. So
it's very nice.
Again, stormwater visible, you know, kind of making things a little less harsh when you look at them mm-hmm. from the main drags or the roads when you're driving by. You know, it gives Bismarck a much friendlier appearance, you know, a nice mm-hmm. looking community. We've been very happy with the success of that program. I don't think we could have been any later and had the success that we've got. So we really, I think, are seeing Bismarck grow now in its second or third or fourth phase of growth with a different look.
Yeah.
And
for homeowners, again, this Partners in Planning is a great program. It's been there for a long time. So up to 50% or up to $50, per tree. If you want to plant a boulevard tree, contact forestry, get your permit in place because there's only certain kinds of trees that you want mm-hmm. on the boulevards. And then the placement, I would assume, is somewhat important as far as where they go.
Yep. We're again wanting to make that second urban forest again, better than the first. We don't want to put trees over water services that are going to the house that may end up getting cut down because the water service is leaking and mm-hmm. far enough away from intersections for visibility and from street signs. And all those things come into play now as opposed to the past. And we don't want enough room so the trees have enough room to fill out and grow and look normal.
Yeah.
You know, when the old days when you had a tree every 15 feet apart, and now when we cut one of those down, the tree next to it looks like it's going to tip over because it was trying to get out to the sunlight. So mm-hmm. all these things, again, are trying to improve on what we've done in the past, make things more efficient, better looking, make Bismarck a great
quality
community. Bismarck's already a great community. We just want to continue that going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And forestry's not going to plant that tree. You just go get that tree, get your permit, go get the tree, plant the tree, and then apply for your rebate.
And we've even got, if you want to go online on your computer, you can ask for the permit online.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you don't want to call in, you're just kind of on your computer, you can request that online. So we're trying, again, to try and make things easier for people. And nowadays, with everything able to be done in a phone, we want to make that available to people.
Okay. That sounds great. Anything else going on that we should know about in the next couple of weeks with the city? Street maintenance, anything happening there that citizens should know about?
Well, we're always doing maintenance this time of year. There's going to be all kinds of street projects that the engineering department mm-hmm. will be kicking off soon. The hot mix plants have just recently, I think, getting started to fire up. You know, so they're going to see a lot of activity in asphalt work, which is a good thing. You know, pavement is like your home. If you don't take care of it and maintain it, it deteriorates, and then it gets to a point where it deteriorates quite rapidly. Mm-hmm. So if you can do these periodic maintenance programs where it's a mill and overlay and get that pavement back up in quality, it can last a long time. If you do nothing to it, it deteriorates to the point where you need to totally repair or pull it out and rebuild it, which is quite a bit more expensive than a overlay in a mill. So.
Sure.
Those are things you're going to be seeing. But summer is short, and we get as much of it in as we can.
Yep. Yep. Will you be doing any work down in Chancellor Square with forestry or anything going on? I know that we're looking at this change of the runway.
Looking at the directional change on the streets, that's certainly going to have an impact in some areas. We'll have to kind of monitor that and see how that affects the plant material in the downtown.
Sure.
Now, the last couple of years, we've taken out the old juniper beds that were in the downtown and replaced those with some perennial flowers mm-hmm. and plants just to try and give it a little different look. Some of those junipers are quite old and deteriorating, so we're trying to just spruce
that up. And they were trampled?
A little bit.
People take detours and walk it over the top
but,
of them.
But, you know, our city is unique. It's really, you know, a fun town. There's lots of things happening all across town, whether you're downtown or on the outskirts of town. And I just think, you know, it's just a great time to be in Bismarck.
Mm. It is. I'd like to thank you both for being here. Jeff Hines, Public Works Director.
Thanks, Mary.
Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator.
Thank you.
And if you'd like any information on any of the issues that we talked about today, check out the website for the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov, or you can call them at 701-355-1300. And if in future programs you'd like us to address a specific city government issue, you can contact us at info@freetv.org. This program will air on Government Access Channel 2 or 602 in high definition and on KDAC FM at 102.5 radio. This program will also be available as a podcast at kdacfm.org and as a viewing link at freetv.org. And until next time, thanks for watching.